This is Music Respawn. I'm Kate Remington with Nathan Whitehead, and I'm really, really looking forward to talking with you about your score for Days Gone. It's great to have a chance to talk.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
You know, I have to start this with a disclaimer, which I've never had to do before, but my son was actually on the dev team for this game. So I've known about it for a while, and it's just so much fun now to see everything all put together, and your soundtrack is just such a perfect fit for the game.
Wow. Well, thank you. And that's amazing. So you know truly what a long haul this was, and I'm sure he was... I mean, they spent 6 or 7 years on it, so just a huge amount of time to create something like this.
And I want to set up the story just a little bit, because it's really several stories going on with this horrible infection that has infected people, and they've turned into something called Freakers. And then Deacon St. John is the main character, and he's separated from his wife Sarah right at the beginning of the game. So there's this tension with dealing with the world as it is right now, and also this hope that he'll get reunited with Sarah. And so I'm wondering, right off the bat, what was the pitch to you from the head of the studio, John Garvin?
The pitch to me was, in its simplest form, I think, you know, this game is not simply about surviving Freakers, killing Freakers. It's about exploring purpose, and it's about kind of re-examining what motivates us in life, and a lot of these big universal themes, and that was really exciting to me. And I think kind of the nature of an apocalypse, you know, it distills things down, because we can't get lost in our routines anymore. It's easy to maybe not think about hard questions, or it's easy to take loved ones for granted or something when we're rolling along in our daily routines, and suddenly all of that is stripped away, you know, and we can't just be scrolling on our phones all the time or any other thing that we fill our time with. And I think John, you know, he wanted to explore that side of it, and that was really fascinating. And I know, I think it had a huge impact on the music. I've done a lot of dark music, and I've done a lot of action music, and it felt like right away that we were going to get to we would need a lot of emotional music to tell this story, and that emotion might kind of get woven through some of the action and the horror stuff in an interesting way. So it was an exciting point to start from.
Yeah, I'll bet, because as you said, it's such a multi-layered story. And you mentioned that it was your soundtrack for Purge that caught his attention.
Right, right.
What do you think it was about that particular soundtrack that made him reach out to you?
He didn't elaborate on it too much, other than he really liked it. I think what it was is it has some of the contrast that I think Days Gone needed, in having basically it's kind of simple melancholy music, a little bit of melancholy, a little bit, I feel like I'm using this word too much, but it just makes sense, some introspection. I think a lot of it is about examining ourselves, and so I think the piece had some of that. It played at the end of Purge Anarchy, and we're experiencing the aftermath of what just went down, and we see our hero in that movie has been transformed in some way, and that is very similar in some ways to Days Gone, when the world we know it as we know it is gone, you know, when that, you know, our past life is just not really there anymore, what drives us at that point. And that's basically this sort of melancholy vibe that was in the music. And then the piece at the end has this big kind of explosion of dark, grisly, distorted sounds. You know, in the Purge movie, that's when the, like, it slams to black and the credits roll, basically saying, you know, this Purge night has been survived, but there's more to come. And I think that piece represents, that side of it represents the Freakers specifically in Days Gone, but just the things that we're all capable of, you know, the dark things in life, and you know, all of this kind of exists in all of us, the ability to be insightful and think about the reasons we're doing things and how we're conducting our life, and then the ability to, well, just to kind of embrace our darker side. So I think that contrast, I think, was what John liked and felt like, yeah, we have to cover and kind of carry both of those things simultaneously, really inside of Deacon in Days Gone. And that was kind of the challenge for the whole score.
Your theme is sort of a microcosm of all of that, the main theme. I love how, first of all, it's so simple, mm-hmm. and you can hum it. It's totally stuck in my head now, which is kind of neat. And I love how, you know, you hear it with the cello first, which is so perfect because, you know, the cello, it's sort of like in the same range as a voice. Mm-hmm. And then it takes that really dark turn to represent the Freakers. That's a really effective cue. And to hear those two worlds kind of slamming up against each other is really phenomenal. So in your mind, I mean, as you're approaching music, what makes a great theme?
I do think a lot of good themes are simple. Doesn't have to be, but I think simplicity and economy can often be more effective than the complicated approach. And it's, you know, it's deceptive. It's the hardest thing in the world to do, I think, you know, write a simple tune. I think, I'll probably talk a lot about instincts and gut response to music. That's a big part of it. And it's some intangible stuff in a way, but something about, you know, the Days Gone melody. I also love cello. Solo cello is amazing. Something about that just felt like a good mixture for Deacon, having some of these things of, he is this, he's a biker, he's in a motorcycle club, he's a pretty rough guy. He also, you know, had a wonderful relationship with Sarah, and we get to see some of that. And this stuff, you know, it's hard to put into words, but I think it's about getting to know the characters or the story or the setting. I feel like I need to spend enough time with it so that when I'm experimenting with anything, whether it's a melody or even just sounds, I can come across something that catches my ear and I say, oh, that sounds like Deacon, and I need to know Deacon enough to have that response. So I think a great theme says it instantly can take you back to a story, maybe to a point in a story, or maybe to sort of the whole experience. I think a lot of great movie themes, for me, take me rushing back to this whole journey I went on watching the movie. And, you know, sometimes when I'm working on projects, we'll say, okay, yeah, that sounds like our movie. That sounds like our movie. It's always a great thing to be able to say that. And ultimately, I can only, you know, that's my opinion, and I hope that it comes across that way. But it's in a lot of ways sort of intangible, but I think that simple identity, getting it to a point where it sounds like our movie, or it sounds like our story, that's what great themes do. I do think that a nice melody, a good melody, and something simple that we can come back to helps with that. And so we did a lot of that in Days Gone, and simple, I think, can help it be versatile and maybe be able to present it in different ways. You know, do some of that with the Freakers, and, you know, having these different kind of aggression levels or different vibes with the same tune. I think that can help, you know, anytime. It might be on the subconscious level, the player is drawn back to this familiar thread. Hopefully that is, you know, has this deepening effect, is, you know, kind of drawing them in more to the story. So it's a very long answer to what a good theme is.
Thank you.
it's got to be tough to just even figure out where to start with a big project like this, right?
It is.
How do you get started?
I try not to think about... I think it's always overwhelming at some point in the process, but I do make a conscious effort, especially if I'm feeling overwhelmed in the moment, to not think too much about the big picture. I think generally I can narrow it down to a smaller task in front of me. So that's important. And maybe I think, okay, I only have to think about the next 8 bars for right now. I don't have to think about two or three hours of music that needs to somehow pop out of my head. And that can actually be really helpful. And then the other thing is just start writing something, which might sound weird. I think it works in everything. I think it works in everything, though. Even things that I might know, sort of know might be wrong. Sometimes I literally just start getting something on the page, and that can kind of kickstart things. It's like stealth mode, honestly. I feel like it is doing things like that, and I end up zeroing in on something. One of those moments that suddenly feels, okay, that sort of connects to at least my idea of what's going on here. But if I think about it, okay, it's an epic story where this guy, you know, is separated, you know, loses the love of his life, and he is on embarking on a fight to survive. It's you know, more intense than anything he's ever experienced, and he's going to be changed in the process. If I just think about those terms all the time, then it can be kind of paralyzing. So I think zooming in is very helpful, and then you just repeat that over and over again. Zoom in and then zoom out. Zoom in and zoom out.
Wow. There's Sony just released a video with you and a snapshot of how you put the music together for Days Gone. And there's a really cool segment where you talk about how you experimented with the sound for the Freakers and you finally settled on using a cymbal. So that's just such a cool idea.
Yeah. I mean, composers have been bowing things for a while. That has been done, but it was really neat the way it came together with the Freakers, because it did start more, the sound world elements were there first. The kind of menacing swells and just it was a very textural piece. And then it did, you know, ramp up and get frenetic more when we got into kind of the Horde territory. And I guess this is something that developed a little bit over time. We had our main theme melody, which was really Deacon and representative of the whole game. And the Freakers didn't have a melody. So the cymbal was, I bowed this cymbal, and most of the sounds in the Freaker world, the Freak Show track, were processed, pitch shifted, slowed down, you know, filtered, distorted. And so this cymbal was in there for a while, this bowed cymbal distorted, and it did just sound gnarly. And, but one of my producers, and this is what I talk about in the video, said, you know, there is a little melodic shape in that. What if we, you know, zoomed in on that? What if we teased out that melody? And I'm always kind of pitching cymbals, like, it's this really rough, aggressive sound, but I still generally want it to be a specific pitch that might be in tune in some sort of pleasant way with the surrounding music. A lot of times it's intentionally a dissonant element. And so this happened to be in tune with the track. And so when I examined that cymbal, that bowed cymbal recording, and time stretched it out, there was this melodic phrase, and figured out what that was, you know, tried it on strings, tried it on piano, and it was this kind of serendipitous, wonderful surprise in a way. It was kind of a weird melody, but that became You know, that was the spark for the Freaker tune, and it was the missing element for the Freaker sound, having this melody. It sounded creepy, but also a little bit tender, I think, on piano. And it was a very, lots of reverb and sort of ghostly piano. But still, you know, the melody had this tragic quality with that, which was exciting because it is a tragedy that most of the world's population is infected now. And but then, you know, it also could be kind of fierce and menacing, played on the low strings. And so it was just, it was such a neat way, and for the melody to come about. And I think that goes to show, like, so much of the process is creating the environment where ideas can emerge and kind of giving them an opportunity to pop out. Because the actual symbol, bowed symbol, distorted symbol, is still in the track, and I think it's a really nice connection. You know, maybe people will hear the melody in this kind of crunchy sound, maybe they won't, but there is this connection. And I think some of the best things, honestly, a lot of times emerge that way. It's sort of what you call it, the muse or whatever, but getting into the story, the character enough so that when something surprises you, you can say, wait a minute, that sounds right. And it was just really satisfying for that to pop out and suddenly solve this problem we had of, you know, how can the Freakers, we wanted the Freakers to be a little more connected to the rest of the score and also be able to cover some more range in the game. And that melody really did both of those things.
Yeah, it's a perfect fit. And what's very, very cool, too, about that sound for the Freakers is it sort of grows out of the rest of the sound design. So it's very subtle. And the way it comes and goes, you're almost not sure, you know, if you're getting near a Freaker nest and it sort of, the theme starts and you're not really sure if it's just the sound design or the music. So that's really a brilliant choice.
I love that. And a lot of, you know, that, you know, a lot of credit goes to Paul Deacon, who was the audio lead on the game in terms of, you know, he created such a rich world sonically with all of the environment sounds and things like that. And then the final mix of the game. But I love that, not knowing, it's like, you know, what am I hearing? Is that Freaker music? Every time someone says something online about being super tense while playing the game, I love reading those tweets or comments. And it's funny, I've even felt it playing the game. I know kind of what's going on, although I haven't finished the game yet. But I had played the game earlier and been a part of it, you know. But I love finding myself, it's like, oh man, my palms are getting sweaty here. It's fantastic. Yeah, so that's good to hear.
And I think what the game does so well is not giving you really enough ammo or power or in some cases even stealth. So you never know if you're going to come out of it alive or not. And then your music just like amplifies that.
Right. Hopefully, yeah, that's the idea. And I think they got the balance on, yeah, like the ammo and stuff like that. It's amazing. It's just, it's this beautiful space, but it's usually hard to relax in it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, you've been to Bend a bunch of times, and I remember the first time I went, I just was so astounded by, well, the variety of the landscape with the mountains and the pine forests and then the Badlands, this huge, empty, quiet space. And so how much of an influence did that landscape, the setting of the game, have on your music?
Yeah. It had a really big influence, I think. I thought about it a lot. A lot of times I would get sent PDFs. I got sent a lot of videos as well, but sometimes I would just have an image, a still image or something, and I would put that up on a screen as I was writing, and it had a big influence. It's interesting because what does any setting sound like, really? I don't know that, you know, there's not an objective right answer there, but I like that that nature in that part of the world has so much variety and that it's so intense. Having snowy mountains where you could freeze to death, having the, you know, huge expanses where there really is no water to speak of, the volcanic activity. I thought a lot about how nature, this is something I think of when I get out into nature, how it can encourage us to examine ourselves or just make us feel small, you know?
Yeah.
And that is, I'm so fascinated by that feeling.
Thank you.
my takeaway from so many of my conversations with John Garvin was Deacon is wrestling with a lot in his head, and he's thinking about his wife and what could have he done differently and what is important now. And those two things were just connected somehow, because for one, if our society collapses, nature will still be there. It might look a little different, or it might, I don't know what'll happen if the earth doesn't explode or something. Assuming there's still a planet here, then there will still be this incredible force that is beautiful and can also kill us in an instant. And in some ways I thought about that being a metaphor for the game, because it's a story about people and relationships, and explores how people can mess things up, and it explores, I think, some amazing things that existence has to offer, maybe like connecting with other people and stuff like that. So all of that was rolling around in my head as I was writing the music, and somehow that translated to more of the folky vibe, the folky Americana acoustic guitars, not too much polish, that sort of thing. And I think some of it was, the polish that's in the world, it's just not polished anymore. There's not a really, outdoor mall or something to go to. it's overgrown with weeds at this point. It's infested with freakers. So I think it sort of felt back to basics, it's people, it's the land, it's whatever nature has to offer. And of course the freakers, and acoustic guitars and kind of these earthier sounds, I think, that makes sense. I thought about, we even talked about this in a meeting once. There's a cool video, I think it's a documentary actually, about guitar amps or just about rock music. But it has Jack White, of the White Stripes. It has a bunch of amazing musicians. And he makes a quick guitar out of a 2x4 or something. He's like pounding in nails, and he pulls a string across it, plugs it into a little amp he has, and then starts playing it with a glass bottle, and it might be one string. Anyway, I could see people doing that in the game. There are people playing songs in the game, but that sort of, it's like, yeah, we can grab a guitar and play some music, and that is a connection to maybe to being human. We're still people, and we still have a reason to keep going forward. Somehow guitars did that for me. Acoustic guitars did that. And so that was my translation of the world into the music.
Yeah, they are a great fit. And actually, there is a lot of scrounging and crafting in the game. And I was curious about whether you wanted to have the music sound like homemade instruments or crafted instruments from whatever was left in the world.
Yeah, a little bit, particularly with music that plays around if you're dealing with rippers or just marauder camps. Absolutely, that it was nice for all of the music to have kind of a rough edge, but that music, I really like the way it works when you're playing the game. A big component in some of that music is a frame drum, which is sort of a weird choice in a way. That's not used a lot in American folk music, but it does have that. Yeah, let's pick up a metal drum and just start banging on it sort of thing. And I would imagine, rippers being kind of tribal anyway, that they might even do that, making some instruments out of whatever they can and having the drum circle around the fire or something like that.
When they're not tattooing themselves with blow torches. And...
Exactly. And other fun things they get into. Yeah.
Wow. That's such a cool choice because it makes the world seem really alive and like you're right in there with them.
Yeah.
Deacon and his character, I was absolutely blown away by Sam Witwer's performance of Deacon, and he just really brought that character to life. How much of an influence was that on the music that you were writing for Deacon?
It was a huge influence. I think, first of all, I agree. I think he did an amazing job. Oh man, I mean, some of the cutscenes, they really got to me, and I think he did a really good job at walking the line between being a tough biker and then playing, more sensitive moments.
There are some really wonderful flashbacks. One that comes pretty early in the game, I think, is when Deacon is kind of remembering how he met Sarah in the first place.
Yeah.
And that's a really interesting just whole vignette there with the two of them.
Yeah, I agree. I just found myself getting lost in the story every time, and I think that's because they were both great. And also, and I think it's extra impressive to me because a lot of the early video I saw was actually actors in performance capture suits. So it wasn't, you know, the very first versions I saw didn't have all of the detail that makes it look normal. It was these weird suits that the technology requires to capture their performance, and I still found myself getting sucked in and believing these characters. And yeah, I think so much of that comes down to Sam Witwer just really selling Deacon, becoming Deacon, and it felt very convincing. I mean, it wouldn't have worked without that.
Yeah, I remember my son telling me they were watching the sessions with the mocap, and everybody in the studio, they were just like transfixed because here was this character that they'd all been working on and building a game world around just like come to life. It was really amazing.
Yeah, it was. And again, dodging spoilers, but some sad points. I remember mocap suits and all just being totally moved by what's going on. He brought something special.
Yeah, for sure. And Sarah is another really interesting character, and you've brought her to life with your theme. And what is so interesting about it to me, you know, just like Sarah, who's turns out to be kind of an unexpected aspects to her character, her theme is great because halfway through it just shifts from 4-4 to 3, and it's got this momentum now, and it's really surprising. It's really a great, great track.
Well, thank you. I think it's definitely a unique track on the soundtrack. It's the only piece that gets anywhere close to that level. I think what hits me is you know, positivity and hopefulness, and yeah, it does change up the old time signature there halfway through. I think because so much of, you know, what drives Deacon is his relationship with Sarah, you know, losing her, and to me, so much of what was important about the Days Gone story is emphasizing that connecting with people is important. And I think some of these ideas are just, well, we're just, you know, we're going to think about it differently in the face of an apocalypse. So I wanted Sarah's theme to be like nothing else on the soundtrack. And I think it was the one opportunity to really focus on our hopes and dreams, I think, and what we're shooting for. So it was kind of more, I mean, it is Sarah's theme, but I think Sarah represents her and Deacon's relationship is at the core of the story, but I think she also represents a lot more, and their relationship represents a lot more, and just that was, I thought of it sometimes as I'm saying here, this piece is saying, yeah, there is always a good reason to take a step forward, even when it feels like everything is totally destroyed. And to me, that's why it ended up kind of just getting into such a bright and shiny place, I think, relative to the rest of the score.
Yeah, you need those moments. And I think that's why the flashbacks are so powerful too, because in the midst of all this grayness, yeah, Deacon still has that to hang on to. So,
right.
Yeah, so it's super powerful. Well, besides that one, what were some of the cues that were like really satisfying to write?
The main theme was pretty fun. The Days Gone theme, and that was the first track that I wrote for the game. And I was talking to my producers, music producers at Sony, and this was a piece I was writing for John Garvin to essentially say, hey, this is what I would do for your game. So at least a lot of it was written before I was even hired.
Wow.
In a strange way, that took some... I don't know, I thought about it after the fact, and in a way, it took some pressure off, which sort of doesn't make sense. I didn't sit down and say, okay, I'm going to write the main theme for the game. I think if I'd thought about it a little bit more, in a way, maybe that... I would have come to that. Somehow, by writing it first, it was just this, you know, talking to Sony, talking to John, getting excited by this idea, and then like going back to my studio, writing this track, and saying, hey guys, what do you think of this? And I think, I've heard a lot of musicians say this, I think a lot of times early ideas are maybe the best ones, or there's something to them. And I think that process of just kind of like learning about the story, learning about what was going on in this game, and immediately trying to put that into music, it just felt like one of those wonderful times when a piece just comes together and say, okay, this is the story we're talking about, this is how this story sounds to me, and then it worked, and that was a lot of fun. But there wasn't a period of 3 months where we were trying to find the theme, and it was nice to start that way.
Yeah, I bet. Well, also, then you've got that material, and you can use it in other cues too. And I love how many tracks of the soundtrack, and then in cues you've used that theme, and it just sounds so good on so many different kinds of instruments.
That was a real treat about this whole project. It was just getting to get a lot of mileage out of themes, and the main theme most of all. It was a blast. I really liked doing some of the horror scores I've done, and scores where there's not as much melody, but it was really fun to take that simple tune and try to expand it across the whole story and play in different settings. So that was a blast. I mean, that was another huge factor why that track was really satisfying. It was just kind of getting to present it in different ways, different instruments, all the time.
Yeah, it's very effective, and it makes the soundtrack sound cohesive, like it's all part of the same project.
Right.
I'm sure that's got to be a challenge sometimes, especially with something like this where you've got all these different elements that you've got to pull together with the music.
It is. Getting back to the earlier question about themes, it's something I hope for on every project, you know, is to, when the score is done, hopefully it sounds like that world. I sometimes think about it when I'm working on a cue, occasionally, not every cue gets to this point, you know, it's just not every piece does this, but occasionally I'll get to a point where I feel like, okay, now it feels like this was all just created, it was born at the same time. The image, the actor's performance, the music, the lighting, it suddenly just feels like one thing, at least to me, and you know, others may disagree, but that, I think, I love that when it clicks. And I think a big part of that over the course of a whole project is having some cohesion, and you can always have music that gets the job done, maybe action for action, or maybe, you know, whatever, you know, music that is kind of on paper doing the job. But it's wonderful when it feels like it has its own identity. So I hope that is what's coming across, that, you know, because I think it helps people get immersed. You know, if you hear a little bit and it, you know, I hear a score from a movie I love, and in feeling completely in that world all over again, I mean, that's fantastic, and that's the whole point. And it was awesome that, you know, John really, I think, paid attention to melody, and he liked melody, and he wanted a melodic score, and that to a large extent made it possible, I think, to try to make it as cohesive as we could with themes.
Yeah, and we should give a shout out to the musicians too, the Nashville Scoring Orchestra.
Oh man,
they did a phenomenal job.
They did. Yeah, it was incredible. It's always really exciting and a little nerve-wracking getting to that day, the scoring stage, getting, you know, and recording it. I've generally, you know, I've been living with my sampled orchestra for a long time on most projects, and on this game, you know, because it just, you know, games stretch out for so long. When I first heard, you know, the score being played by musicians in Nashville, it was amazing. It's hard to believe. And it was extra special in a way. I'm from Tennessee. I lived in Nashville for, I'm from East Tennessee, but I lived in Nashville for 5 years, I think. Went to college there, and before I moved to LA. And it was just all these things. I was back in Tennessee. It even felt, to me, it felt kind of right, given this, I think the score has a little more earth and grit and dirt in it. It's like, yeah, let's record it in Tennessee,
yeah,
where I'm from. But the players there are incredible. And
yeah,
they did an amazing job. And they even serve... true to the South, they serve fresh made biscuits at sessions in Nashville.
Oh,
which was amazing. Yeah. Yeah.
My friend didn't tell me that. She's a violinist in the orchestra. She's keeping that a secret, I guess.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm sure the biscuits every day could become a problem, but, you know, I wasn't there that much. But yeah, they were great. I hope to get to work with them some more.
Yeah. Well, just all in all, the whole finished result is just so incredible, and it's such a perfect fit for the game. And wow, Nathan, it's been so much fun to talk with you about it.
Well, thank you. It's great to hear that. I appreciate it. And yeah, thanks for your time. It's really fun for people to see people enjoying it, see it out in the world, and enjoying the music. So thank you.